Hello and welcome back to Wrong Opinions Only with your hosts Justin and Kayla, and we are diving back into the reality TV realm today. We talked a little bit about Love is Blind, actually a lot of it about Love is Blind last week, and we're going to dive into one of our favorite shows, The Challenge, as well as the return of Survivor, Survivor Season 46, Kayla, which is one of your favorites.
It really is. You know, when I'm welcomed back to the island and don't have to participate, but get to watch, it's just truly the best. Chef's kiss. I have to tell you something that I did today that it's embarrassing how long it took me, but I'm glad it did. I don't know if you've heard of the show Shogun that's been getting some buzz on Hulu.
Yep, I'm really interested in watching it, but haven't started yet.
Today I was like, you know, I'm going to start it. I'll just start a little bit and see how I'm liking it. You know, we're always looking for new shows. And the show starts out with, like, you know, it's set in older times. And I understand it to be a show primarily set in Japan. But what I was watching was, like, this character who was, like, scamming someone at a card table. And it had the guy from The Queen's Gambit. And I was like, okay, cool. He's in this. I don't really get his kind of part in this time period, but okay. And I'm watching it for a good, like, 10, 12 minutes. And I go, wow, there's, like, an extraordinary amount of white people in a show about samurais in Japan.
You were watching Kayla.
Oh my God. Watching The Artful Dodger. No clue. And I blame Hulu and myself for this, because Hulu's really good at, like, when you're trying to click a show, it's like, oh, what about this show? And it's, sometimes I click the wrong show all the time on Hulu because it's always trying to get you like, what about this? So annoying. But yeah, I was watching The Artful Dodger, which, gotta say, was entertaining, but not the show that I was trying to get into.
How long, you know, until you realized what was happening, Kayla?
Like 10, 12 minutes. And I was like, huh, why is it like England? Like, what, you know, like, there's ships. I'm like, okay, what's happening here? But, like, it's crazy that there's, like, I've seen not one samurai yet at this time period. And then I started the actual show, Shogun, and it starts, like, in 1600 Japan. I'm like, okay, yeah, now I've hit it. But I was like, wait a minute. So I just kept going, wait, this isn't kind of how I thought this would open. There's, like, surgery. Like, I'm just like, okay, what is going on? Yep.
Were you the person I was at the movie with? I'm trying to remember, as we all know, my memory fails me nowadays.
I usually am.
All the previews were like Disney, like, animated movies.
Yes.
And then we're like,
do you remember what it was?
I'm trying to remember what movie we were trying to see.
I'll tell you.
Go for it.
I remember it exactly. We were going to see The Hangover.
Oh, yes.
And I had seen the movie Up. The Up came out at the same time. So I knew the animated shorts that played before Up. Okay. So we're sitting there and I noticed we're going to Disney Animation, what I saw with Up. And I go, wait a minute. And I'm kind of looking around and I'm like, this is so bizarre. Why are they playing like a Disney short for The Hangover? So eventually I see the beginning of Up and I go, okay, wrong movie. So I left the theater to tell, you know, a worker, hey, wrong movie. I turned around, the entire
theater crowd
was behind me like a mob. And I go, yeah, they started playing the wrong movie, which is very entertaining at Shopping Town. Good
times. We're just like, oh, no, we did not want to see Up. Everybody in this theater was thinking it was something else.
It was like a different vibe. I'm like, what's with this crocodile animation? What's going on?
Yeah, we're
here?
Like, so looking funny around to see if we made the mistake. We're like, no, there's not kids in here. Yes. This is not an Up crew here to watch that. So clearly people are here for The Hangover.
Oh, yeah. You know, I miss crazy times like that. So funny. But listen, we got a lot to talk about today. We got to hit The Challenge, which we couldn't cover last week. So too much on Love is Blind. We are talking about The Challenge, Battle for a New Champion. And we are covering the whole season, okay? Because it's over. I will say at this point, part two of the reunion hasn't played. But you have a general sense of the season. And, you know, reunions are great. And we could talk about it. But it's the same shit, you know, it's just like, let me make the most of my camera time is how I feel reunions are, which, you know, sometimes they're fun. So highs and lows of the season overall, I guess, before we get the nitty gritty, what did you think about this season, which was entirely new? It was all the losers, as one champion said, very funny of the reunion, battling it out to form a new champion. What'd you think?
So I think I'm a little bit on the minority here where I generally enjoyed this season. I don't think it's nearly as good as when you have the OGs, you have the people that you have more of that attachment to, the Bananas, the CTs, the Carmarias, those types. But I like that they tried something different. They're trying to get a new champion in. And I think a big part about this was to make it younger, skew the whole season younger so that there is more drama. There's more hooking up. There's more of that kind of like original challenge vibe when everybody was in their 20s and not in their 40s and still dominating. So I like they went for that swing. And I do like the format that they did. Something different. I like when they switch things up every so often. Now, if they do this again, then that kind of ruins the surprise. But the fact that it was like, you guys have never won. You need to work together as part of control first. Otherwise, you lose money. There are actual stakes to like, you need to win your money first. And then if you lose against the champs, you lose it. I love that because the rookies just botched it every which way. And I personally am a fan of watching people just fail over and over again, which was majority of the season.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm probably in the majority then. And I didn't know I was in the majority if a lot of people weren't really feeling the season. I thought this was very, like, I'm going to say something crazy, but I really think the challenge is too long. I really do. And I don't know if that's because All-Stars is just a really nice, sweet, your favorites, and it's a shorter season. I just feel like a lot of the time it feel like such filler, these episodes. Like, it just is, like, very long. Like, I myself was behind because it just became, it sometimes it becomes so like, oh, I'm three behind. Who last fought? And I just think honestly with how long the challenges, they could do with a little tightening up. You know, I don't think anything crazy. And they were very ambitious this season with some of their different sections they had. But I just felt like, why do we still have to have like 20 episodes of the challenge? What are your thoughts?
So I love the challenge. I like the more episodes because you get to weed out all the people that shouldn't be in the final. Now, with this season in particular, that didn't matter because pretty much nobody on this season deserved to make the final except for like Norris or Kylan and Horacio, in my opinion. So everybody else sucked. But when you have the OGs, I like that they really have to battle it out and they're more likely to have to go into an elimination before the final when you have more episodes. As far as the format this season, the middle piece is when the ratings started going up, right? The chaos where the champs came back in the eliminations to beat the rookies here, but that didn't work as well. Like, some of these champs lost and embarrassed themselves, especially your favorite here. Cara Maria talked a lot of shit, went in and got beat by like one of the weakest physical people, smartest.
Listen. I just want to, Cara Maria has been out of the game for years, came on for this quick spot. You know, puzzles haven't always been her best specialty. You know what? Listen, you can call her cheesy for kind of her little spiel at the beginning, but people genuinely were like in awe seeing her there. Like, you can tell they're like, oh my God, Cara Maria. And she brings chaos. I appreciate she leaned in villain. Like, she leaned in chaos, like called out Michelle. You know, I appreciate like the energy that it brought and this like peacekeeper, like nicety. You know what I mean? I miss that. I just think it speaks volumes that people are so hyped for this part. You know why? Because people care more about the champions.
Exactly.
The majority of these people I am completely bored with. They have no personality. And when they do try to have personality, I'm like, it's not working for me. I don't care that these people are in their late 30s, 40s. We have a history with them. They're competitive as hell. They're not as whiny. It is insane how like complainy these people are. And some of these characters, I genuinely forgot they were on there.
Yep.
Like Colleen. Truly until the end, I'm like, oh yeah, Colleen, where have you been? Because literally I did not notice her for like six episodes. And then when she started having an attitude, I'm like, who are you again? They're forgettable, in my opinion.
Wow, Kayla, they're forgettable. Uh-huh. I love it. And one of the things about this season that was frustrating, but also in my opinion, fun to root against was the big alliance. So you had Jay and Michelle running the house. And honestly, I have not seen anybody have such a fall from grace as Jay did this season. He was generally a likable person, rubbed people the wrong way a little bit, but was a nice enough guy. He came in on such a power trip this season because he is like one of the kind of vets who has some experience here and knows people. And he started this massive alliance and he just bitched and thought he was top dog the whole fucking season. It was insane to me how just entitled he was because Michelle was carrying him throughout. If he didn't have Michelle, he would have went home early. But Michelle protected him, and he just couldn't see it. He was delusional. He's like, "What? I'm saving you." He basically told everybody in the house, "I have saved you. That's the only reason you're still here." And then is bitching at Norris and all these people when he doesn't even get voted down, but somebody that he's aligned with gets voted down because he's aligned with everybody, like, was so infuriating. Like, I really just wanted to fight him through the screen the whole season. I could not stand it. And then when he was like, you've lost me as a friend. This is bullshit. Screw you. Now I'm going back on you. All because they just didn't vote in the person that he wanted to, even though it wasn't him. And then that specific one I'm talking about is when CT drew chaos, which we knew CT was going to get chaos, and doesn't even call down Jay, which is what he was worried about. Little scared bitch boy was worried about getting called down by CT. CT calls down Asif, who is useless on the show, just pointless on the show, and beats Asif. And Jay is crying, sobbing, and screaming at everybody in the house because Asif, who he claims was his number one, but was really, what, his number, like, 8 in the house because he had so many other alliances, goes home. I am so glad, and I'm going to just jump ahead quickly now, that Jay got called out in the final, like, when they had one of these mini eliminations in the final, by Corey, who also sucks and didn't deserve to be in a final, and Corey beat him. The one time Jay had to do something to prove himself, he got his ass beat and went home. If he would have won, it would have just pissed me off. And I really thought he was going to win in the final. So I'm so glad to see him go home, to see Mariah go home, who was useless, just sticking up for James, who was also useless and didn't do shit the whole season. Corey didn't do shit. He started off messy and then just laid in the back the whole time. Colleen, like you said, didn't do shit. Emmanuel didn't do shit. Berna didn't do shit and whine the whole final.
Oh, Berna, like, freaking.
The only people, like, the people I was rooting for by the end, it's Horacio and Kylan. That's my big high of the season, is their bromance right there, because it was them two against the house. And then eventually Nerys kind of went with them, but she was still sticking up for Jay. And they just didn't have the numbers because they needed to win every single time. And they kept coming in second place or not winning back to back. And it created a fun dynamic for those last, like, maybe 4 weeks or so before the final. But there was a lull in the beginning because that alliance had such heavy pull.
Yeah, Jay and Michelle are dumb and dumber. I don't know if Jay's trying to be like Devin, but, like, more idiotic. Like, he wants to be this villain mastermind behind the wheels that doesn't have to get his hands dirty. Like, that's absolutely how he was trying to play. Michelle, I can't stand her. The only times that I enjoy seeing her on the screen is when she's terrified, which thankfully is often on the show. Like, her fucking scared shitless that Laurel is coming for really did make me laugh throughout that episode. It was like the boogeyman with Laurel coming in, who also lost. I can't with that. But I can't stand it. And the biggest issue I had with them, other than they're just fucking annoying whining, which I'm going to call the season of whiners. Michelle, oh, Jay's the one manipulating it. I like her just kind of doing a recovery every single episode that was like, I didn't want to do that. That's Jay. I don't want you guys to think but you're following him every time. Jay, I want to save Nerys. Just follow this plan. You still pick Michelle knowing that all the way to the end, she wasn't sure who she was going to pick. So if you really wanted your plan to go, you would have picked Michelle, but you did. And then you want to cry boo-hoo because it didn't go the way that you thought it was going to go. I just didn't understand their like constant, like, you guys keep being tied together and then like being mad that each other are, but it was all season long.
It was.
I just thought they were like terrible. And Michelle, like, I really don't think she's ever going to win.
No, but she's good for TV. I like that she like is so messy that it's kind of good for TV because
so messy. Every season, people hate her.
She goes, oh, I'm aligned with Emmanuel, Nerys, Colleen, Corey, Berna, Mariah, Jay, Olivia, James, Horacio, Ed, Raven, Asif, Callum. Like, you just named the whole freaking house. Like, what? And then somehow, what are the rest of these people doing? You saw a couple instances where, like, Colleen or Berna or Nerys are like, let's make a shift here because they keep telling you that you're in their alliance and then they keep voting you in or, like, not picking you. Like, they're going back on their word every single week and no repercussions until the very end when it finally came down to you can't come in last, and Michelle came in last and didn't make the final. But just a very weird gameplay this season. And
How funny looking at the cast of people. I saw Huey on here. I go, oh yeah, Huey was on this for like 2 hours. But that's what I'm saying. It's so long. Like some of the people early on, I completely forgot were on the show.
Well,
because it feels like it was forever ago.
Jessica is never coming back. She basically volunteered to go in and went out immediately. Chauncey, we've talked about how he is just a terrible player.
we can't get you rolling on a Chauncey roll.
Huey, who is terrible. Huey, who is kind of like entertaining TV, but not very good at the challenges.
I like Big T. I'm still rooting for Big T. I'm sorry.
Big T and Melissa, I was rooting for them, like, going into the season.
Until the reunion?
Yeah, the reunion really turned me off. They were so freaking annoying, and you could tell they were just doing it to create drama.
Became mean girls. Yeah. And here's what I like about mean girls, among many things, is the, like, when I want to be kind of looked at tenderly or, like, nicety, like, you know, kudos to Big T. She had her, like, coming out episode. But then you want to, like, turn around and be a jerk to people. It's like, it doesn't work both ways. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to be supportive to you one day and then you treat me like shit. And they were like sitting there like a bunch of like high school assholes, you know?
Yeah.
Like on that couch with their shades. I was like, what is happening right now? I loved the champions sitting on the couches next to each other. Devin, I can't believe I love him so much, how much I've turned from him at the beginning to like, I'm just totally team him. Like, please, him and Tori come back.
And now that he has a championship, like, you're never going to hear the end of it from him. It's just
no,
great.
You're not. And he'll always have it, which I love. I do love for both of them. Because, you know, I have always rooted for Tori, even though she's made it difficult sometimes. I do want to talk about the, you know, Olivia, Nerisse, and Horacio thing. I think last time we talked about the challenge, I mentioned how it didn't seem like Horacio was really spending any time with Olivia. Again, it's all in edits. So I did kind of go, you know, like, that's kind of your ride or die, and you're not really, like, talking to her. And I get, you know, you're hooking up with Nerisse, or you're, you know, growing. I get that. But I would feel probably some type of way about, like, we're supposed to be, you know, you're not really talking to me about anything. And Horacio, I don't know. Is it real, his sweetness? Because he is, like, generally seemingly such a good guy.
Is.
Like, it almost is like, I can't believe it. You know, when he's at the reunion and talking about how he still kind of wants to, like, continue his friendship with Olivia after all the drama. Like, it felt very sincere to me. Like, he really doesn't want anyone to feel, like, he doesn't want to hurt anyone. And I think that comes across, like, really genuine, as opposed to, like, Michelle, who's like, I don't want to hurt you, but, you know, I'm scared, I'm going to throw you in. Or Olivia, I should say. What do you think about the drama between all three of them? Like, was Olivia wrong?
Oh, I think Olivia is just the biggest, just most gullible follower, not a leader by any means. She just listens to whoever she talks to last, and she just doesn't deserve to be a champion. And if she would have won last season, like, she played a lot better of a game because she just kind of followed Horacio's lead and stood in the background. But she,
that's not what you said. That, but let's if we could roll the cameras back, and I want to talk about the drop down, I guess, for Olivia, because when we finished, how much were we praising her at the end when she got out for that? We were like, Olivia really, like, held her own. We were talking about how excited we were to see Olivia in another season. Look how we're kind of talking about her now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, her and Horacio were kind of teamed up, and they were, like, for each other on ride or dies. And this season, she just kind of, like, was popping around and not doing anything for herself, which is what really pissed me off. And then you have Horacio save her. And basically, when it gets down to the final three, and I do love that twist for the last piece of it, where you have to pick somebody to save, and then they pick somebody to save, and it creates a chain. A big thing I would have changed on that is you need to do that as soon as the challenge is over, so that you can't plan out all these circumstances. Like, it would have made it more fun if it's like, immediately pick somebody to save whoever won and go down the list. So that way you can't be like, oh, I made a list of exactly the scenario that's going to outline. So
you just miss out cool things, though, on the other side of that, because when you get to plan it, that's when you do, in theory, get, like, the surprise, like, jump out, like we, like a Kylan, like a Horacio, like a Nerisse, like,
yeah. But then, you know, it ended up being Kylan, Horacio, and Nerisse in the bottom three every time because they couldn't save any one of them.
Were they not the ones to get out, though? Were they not? I mean, put it, your love of them aside, were they not the ones you wanted out every fucking time?
Well, that's
time?
What I'm saying. Like, if you were forced to make those decisions quickly right after the challenge, you're more likely to have somebody slip up. And I think it would have created more chaos if a Horacio gets saved, but you have Kylan and Nerisse or somebody down there, and then you're like, what the hell is going on here? But when Horacio basically says, save Olivia to Nerisse, I'll go in, save Olivia, it's okay. And then reinforces with Olivia later on, like, hey, I know I haven't talked to you much, but like, I always got your back. Just remember, I'm always here for you. And then she goes behind his back again, goes behind Nerissa's back every chance she gets when Nerissa's like, hey, my brother told me you're shady as shit, but like, I'm still with you until you prove me otherwise. And then 4 minutes later, she's making deals with Michelle. Like, I just, Olivia had another real just drop off a cliff like Jay did this season to me.
Olivia just, and I mean, I could just be like therapying her, but she just seems like someone that needs that external validation a lot. Like 100%. When she was working one-on-one with Horacio,
she's the Chelsea of the challenge.
They were constantly paired together. They're constantly paired together, and so she always had that support. And now it was like she was having these other people come to her and say, hey, we'll have this plan, like, you be a part of it, versus Horacio wasn't coming to her and kind of giving that to her. So unfortunately, like, I'm pretty sure she burned a relationship, and I don't blame Nerissa whatsoever. That was so fucked up, and I wouldn't be friends with her again.
No.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, she,
here's the thing.
She made her bed. She needs to lay in it. And as soon as all that happened, I think everybody, at least on the internet, was team Nerissa. Like, Nerissa, let's win this whole fucking thing. You deserve to.
Yes, I was. She was one I was like, please. She, I mean, beat Horacio and Colin. It was phenomenal. I got to say, though, like, you know, of all the drama, I guess, between them, like, Nerissa really was the star, I think, of this. Like, she really just, you know, the hard part of the challenge always seems to be the personal relationships. And to some extent, you need to keep them, because those are people who are going to save you the next season. You're going to keep seeing these people if you keep playing this game. So you can't really play, like, so cold and calculated. You got to have the people that you fight for. You know, Olivia just was about that the whole time, you know, like, listen, I really need this. I'm about, you know, then that's what it is. But when you're trying to maintain both and you backstab someone, you can't be like, I was afraid. It's just the game. Because no, you've been playing like, you're my friend, like, you're my best friend in this house. So guess what? You hurt me. You're my best friend. You hurt me. So now that you've commingled the personal, you can't kind of go at it and say, like, I was looking at it from a game perspective. Like, it's a delicate balance, and I really shout out the people that are able to maintain both. You know, it's hard.
It really is. And, you know, especially when you watch back the season in Nerissa's perspective, the amount of gaslighting from Michelle and from Jay and a little bit from Olivia was insane. They just kept saying, you're the reason that we're going after you. You're the problem, when she had their backs as long as she possibly could. So I'm glad that she really proved herself. She took out the thing that pisses me off about that is she took out the two big dogs. She took out her two best friends in the house, which helped everybody else in the house. Because with how that final played out, Horacio or Kylan would have won it. Like, let's be real. Like, if either one of them got there, they would have won it, because that was just a shit cast in a final, in my opinion. But Nerissa did the dirty work, and she got it done. And I was glad to see kind of her get so far in the end. And she had that advantage of, I went into those eliminations with the three people, so I know what to expect. So when she got to that spot in the final, she's like, oh, I have a comfort level here. I'm not going to just be terrified of walking out of balance, being like Corey, who just like almost crawled into a ball.
Lost it.
He is a loser.
I mean, that to me was the very clear, like, you know, when you have that doubt in your head, that's like where you have to fight yourself. And he so had in his head that he couldn't do it after he wasn't. And he talked himself out of it. I really do believe that. Like,
100%.
I think he got so in his head, like, I can't do this. I'm too big. I'm too whatever. That he couldn't do it. If he had just run it a couple times, like he did on the reunion, he could have gotten it done. So he ultimately made himself lose. He was annoying this season. I just was stunned at how few people I actually like was rooting for on this show. Kylan, I gotta say, his big brother baggage does follow him for me. Like, he was such a tool on Big Brother.
He turned it for me this season. Like, I have not liked Kylan in Big Brother or the other challenge seasons. This season, the fact that he was standing by Horacio and he wasn't afraid to call out Jay and all of them on their bullshit in his weird, like, awkward smile, like, passive aggressive way sometimes. It's weird.
Yes, that's how to describe it. Like, he just can be very, like, ooh, you know, sometimes with how he delivers, condescending. Sometimes
yes,
he can come across as condescending. And that is a trigger for me. So I'm like, I watch him talk and I'm like, oh my God, you know.
But he kept going down and he kept winning. Like him and Horacio kept going down, they kept winning. And it took Norris to knock them both out at the same time. Who would have thought?
Yes, yes. He really improved on his USA work, that's for sure. Horacio or Kyland, get down to the end. Who are you rooting for more?
I would have rooted for Horacio in the end because he was the one that was like very, like from the get-go was on the outs. Kyland, it took a few weeks for him to kind of get to that level. So, yeah, Horacio just, he doesn't. I want him to be more entertaining in the game, though. He does just sit back and is just like, all right, if I go in, I go in, whatever.
He's kind of introverted. Yeah. Like, he is. Like, I totally, he is. Like, despite him being, like, looks amazing, he's athletic, he's all this soccer star, all this stuff. Like, he really is pretty introverted, you know? Like, he keeps things private. Even, like, his relationship with Norris was pretty, like, to themselves, you know? They weren't very
well. Norris is basically, like, in the confessionals, like, why isn't he freaking making a move yet? I'm, like, throwing myself at him, and the guy won't kiss me. Like, come on.
It's very sweet. It's very sweet, like, between them. So I'm rooting for them. I gotta say, I did enjoy the conquest section. Like, I like the mini finals. I kind of hope that they do something with that going forward. I really enjoyed the, like, we don't know who, how, like, the amount of people going home, what we're doing, and it gave me, like, excitement for the finale because I liked seeing, you know, the extremity of what they had to do, like their own kind of mini finale.
And it was three people, so you didn't know if one was coming back, two were coming back, what the deal was. And it was a complete equalizer, as we saw with Norris in this and Zara in the first go round, who I was really rooting for. Zara, she was pretty fun this season. But yeah, it was puzzles. It was a little bit of strength, but it was strategy. It was, and it just completely eliminated the fact that, all right, if you're just bigger, you're not going to win this one. It's not a hall brawl here. This is, you need to use your brain as well as your speed, as well as your, like, so there was a lot of different elements to it, which I think is something that they needed to incorporate, especially when it's one winner, male or female, doesn't matter. You need to have those types of equalizers.
Before we get to the finale and our thoughts, I just want to say that Berna, who was really a vocal person, unfortunately, this season, I can't stand. I understand the other people cannot stand her. And I do understand that. I think a lot of her personality is like that Eastern European personality, just that hard. I mean, shucks about the relationship with her mom a bit, like it's just a harsh, you know, like I do think that is how she is, and it doesn't necessarily mean that's how she intends to come across, but it's very like blunt, it's very like combative, like I think that is just like a cultural thing. But she couldn't fucking take the heat, and she really thought she was bigger than she really was on this season. Berna needs to stop being on the show. I really could care less.
Yeah, she should never come back. They should not invite her back. The one thing I was holding out for Berna, because she's annoying as shit, she cries over nothing. She doesn't even start interesting fights. They're boring fights where she's just crying.
No, she's a jerk to everyone and then cries about it. Like, they're misunderstanding me. I'm like, no, you're a complete jerk.
That was your fault entirely. Like, and the one thing I was holding out is, like, physically, she's a pretty good competitor. But then we get to the final, and she sucked at all the physical stuff, too, and then cried again about drinking the – well, that stuff does look disgusting. But if you're in the final, you need to do it, the mayo weird thing. And then it was her and oh my gosh, when Corey was crying about rappelling down the mountain and TJ looked at him and was just like, are you fucking kidding me, Corey? TJ wanted to be like, I'll get on my damn BMX bike and jump off this thing right now, you little bitch. Like, you gotta line, you have a harness, lean forward and go down. And then Corey still couldn't figure it out and was just like scraping his knees the whole way down. Like, it was so embarrassing.
TJ was just about to push him off the cliff. Yeah. Like, TJ was just about to just be like, go ahead and do it. Also, Mariah, by the way, this season did next to nothing, right? Is it the weight of bananas, that past relationship that like keeps her going? Because
she's useless.
You barely saw her, and I didn't know why people were like not touching her whatsoever as far as like putting her in and stuff.
It was
like
the relationship with Michelle and Jay. But what baffled me is Michelle and Jay kept her when she was aligned with James, who was part of the UK kind of thing, instead of Norris and Horacio. They could have kept Norris and Horacio on their side.
Ryan was useless. James was useless.
They weren't winning anything. Why keep them as part of your lines? Like, cut them off before Norris. Like, that was just so stupid.
Didn't make sense. Finale-wise, we got to say it. Emmanuel won. Emmanuel, who I also was like, I will say he fucking tried to compete at the finale. Like, he really went hard for the paint. Like, I appreciate that. He was getting it done.
But he made no big moves. He just coasted on Jay and Michelle.
No, he just got carried. He got carried, and I think he was the best choice of what we had.
Besides Nerese.
Besides Nerese, yeah, thank you. Just, a lackluster because, again, like, I wasn't rooting for most of them. I didn't care about most of them. So seasons like this, while I appreciate it's giving the losers a chance, as Devin said, the reunion to compete, it's like, it's a different, I'm sorry. I mean, like, it's different. They didn't have champions. They had champions, but they didn't have champions. Man, you didn't go against a champion. It just, it's different. How this champion, Emmanuel, is going to be judged differently than others. I'm sorry.
It's
like,
an asterisk.
It's a different game when you have a mix of people.
It's an asterisk. He's not a real champion. He didn't have to beat any real champions. Even if he went down into the sand once or twice and had to beat a champion in the sand.
It's not the same.
That would have like beefed up his resume a little bit, but he didn't even do that. Like, this is the people he beat in the final. Nerese got second place. Colleen got third place. So there's that. Mm-hmm. So it was Emmanuel, Nerese, Colleen, Corey, Berna, Mariah, and Jay. Are you kidding me with this group in the final? And they all just were embarrassing. Colleen stepped it up after a little bit there, but
she decided to be on the show.
She decided to be on the show,
I would say.
It seems like she's pretty smart. She just wasn't great at the physical stuff. But when you're in a final, one thing that always pisses me off, especially when it comes down to, okay, you're going to be racing towards the end, like, time matters. They shouldn't be able to just time out of things. Like, oh, after 10 minutes, if you can't figure this puzzle, you're out. If you're in a final and if the time matters, then they should be able to stand there for 2 freaking hours if they can't figure out a Sudoku puzzle. Secondarily, they should all be slightly different, or Emmanuel should not be able to cheat off Colleen, which we found in the reunion. He basically went over to Colleen's, cheated off of hers in order to figure out the Sudoku, which could be the reason on why he beat Nerese. Like, that type of stuff should be monitored so it can't happen. You know, put up some blinders on the Sudoku boards. If they go over too far, they get a 10-minute penalty or something for that. But the fact that it's just like, oh, you can't do this, 10 minutes has passed, you're fine. If you have a big enough lead, it doesn't even matter. You know what I mean? So it should, like, there should be consequences.
Yeah, I agree with the cheating, but, like, that is a tale as old as time. There's been so many, like, different, like, you copied off this person or whichever. The timing thing, like, I don't know a perfect formula. You know, sometimes I get annoyed, like you said, with the just your time, you're the last one, you're out when it comes to finale. It's like, let just everyone compete. But then, you know, we had that finale a couple seasons ago where it was like you lose and gain time. You know, with Tori and everything, and that I didn't love either. That was like, you get all these penalties because on the one hand, yeah, maybe you can overcome them, but you get, like, Tori just got stacked penalties. Again, be better. I get it. But, like, you just, that's it. You know, you kind of do get to a point where, like, I can't recover this time. And I just feel like, I don't know a perfect system yet, but I don't think we found it yet. I don't love this one. I don't love that you're the last one out. You're done.
Well, what did you think about the control and the chaos portion of the final, where if you won that section, basically your only benefit for winning that section was that you get to vote somebody into a mini elimination, right? So there was no time advantage, there was no deductions. It was just Emmanuel won one, and then they basically just got to pick somebody to go into the elimination. And then, Jay picked Corey, right? And then Corey was, you know, props to him for being like, I'm not picking Nerese because she's gone through enough, and then pick Jay and beat Jay's ass, which was great. But what did you think about that? Do you think there should have been a bigger benefit for winning the quote unquote control and chaos portions of the final?
Like some sort of reward or something, or advantage.
Maybe they were able to sleep or something instead of the people that couldn't sleep. I don't know.
I always really like it when the person voted in gets to pick the person that they're with, because I just feel like that's fair, and I like that everyone could be up. You know, I really like that. Like, when they started really getting into, like, except for these 7 people, you can pick anyone else. I'm like, that sucks. I didn't love that. So, like, I like that, and I like the chaos element of the, the challenge champion picking, you know, of the two, or they get to pick someone. Now, again, they're at a disadvantage. Like, CT picked someone the one person he didn't know, you know, like, some of it was just kind of randomized, and like the people weren't vocal. They were afraid to be like, pick this person, pick Jay, pick, you know, they're playing kind of a scared game. So I liked it. Honestly, that was my favorite part of the season. I look forward to, again, the challenge champion coming on. Who was it going to be? Obviously, I knew Cara Maria was going to hop on, so I was super excited to see her just in this arena again, because I really thought she wasn't going to ever come back, and I just thought that was a bummer. So some of the champions were better than others, so we'll just say that. But overall, it was an okay season. I didn't love it, and I don't hope that they do it again. What about you? Do you hope they do another like loser's bracket?
No, I think that you can only do a loser's bracket like every decade or something. Like, you can't do this frequently. This is kind of like when they did free agents and they're bringing the people in. Occasionally you need a little new blood, but season 40, the release date has not been announced. Apparently it's a stacked OG cast. It's like what they did with season 30. They brought back as many of the OGs, Bananas, CT, Cara Maria, Laurel, Emily, I heard, is going to participate, Brad. So there's going to be almost
Nicole.
Oh, Nicole's coming back too for season 40.
Oh yeah. And apparently they're Laurel and Nicole have some interesting rekindling, one could say. So, and you remember how Laurel ended fucking I hate Nicole's guts.
Oh yeah.
So,
Laurel's great for TV.
I love Laurel because she is 100% herself. Yep. And the 100% herself is a devil.
Yes.
Like she is so hard. I would imagine as a viewer, she's amazing to love, but as someone who actually has to know her in your life,
it's probably a lot.
I can understand why Cara Maria and her have this like truly frenemy relationship where they go times where they don't speak a word to each other, and then they have sleepovers with each other. Like, they truly, like, they'll never be separated fully. But Laurel, like, you love her, hate her, you mostly hate her, and I love that.
Yeah, she is great. I mean, she just, I gained so much like appreciation and respect for her when she was in the final for Zach and was basically like, Zach, what the hell? Get your ass up. We're in a final, and was trying to drag him because he was failing. And she was like, I'm not losing because of your stupid ass here today. So I love Laurel.
Laurel's her biggest fight is her fucking, just can't not get into problematic relationships. Like, if she could just be single on a show and not involve herself in the drama of relationship, which is always fucking fire drama. It's never like this sweet niceness. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, she'll be good. But now that Nicole's on this season, guaranteed chaos. Cara Maria, I obviously is going to be my number one. But again, a shorter season. It's all my favorites. I can't wait. The trailer looks like a movie.
Well, they
trailer
haven't released
amazing.
The trailer for season 40. Only All Stars 4 they've released the trailer so far.
The All Stars is what I'm talking about. Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That releases April 10th, so that's pretty soon that comes out.
I hate that we've delayed a whole month. Mm-hmm. That is brutal to me. But April, is just giving me so many gifts coming out in April.
If they're doing that April, then I wonder if they're waiting for Challenge season 40 till maybe like a September or something. Because they still.
What about the bigger challenges like USA or
I don't know if they're going to do a USA this year, because All Stars has like been such a lag between seasons here. I just don't know the format for 40. If they're going to have all these big names coming back, I've heard rumors of maybe it's a champion drafts a non-champion and they are a pair, or maybe there's some type of competition in the beginning to determine partners, or maybe it's champs versus non-champs, like two big teams. But then it seems like that one was kind of debunked. But whatever it is, let's have the champs just freaking school some of these young kids. Because if there were just a couple champs in this season of 39, they would have won. Like, no doubt about it. Even if the numbers were against them, they would have just ran through this whole season. And it would have been more money at the end, because they would have been smart enough to be like, if we want to keep our money, we need to send somebody down there that can actually hold on to it. And we also need to figure out the control piece. So I'm excited to have the champs back.
Are these players, the non-champions that all competed this season, are they any better off going into another season with the actual champions? I would say no.
I would say no, because the champions were able to watch this season and pick up on how they operate, and that's just
a negative.
Yeah, I
think they'll be picked off.
Unless they team up with each other.
One by one.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, which they never managed to be able to do, because they all turn on each other because they want the the champion's glory. Like, they want them to be looked at highly favored. So they'll just turn on themselves.
Yeah, and then the champs are the ones who win the challenges, and then they go, well, we won, so we have the control. And then
viewers are excited for the champions, yep. Not these guys. I understand we need young blood in, because these champs are not going to be competing forever, no matter how good the MTV money is.
CT and a cane out there. Hey, all you exactly. Youngins.
Listen, we're getting there. Bananas is on just about every single other reality show known to man. So, but I don't like these ones. Can we just reset? Can we do a reset of new blood? Because these ones are not it. I'm not rooting for them. I haven't appreciated them more over time. I'm just as annoyed with them as the first time they came on the screen.
I think a free agent, like if they made it more of a free agent mm-hmm. style, that would have been more interesting, where there's a combine where the rookies or like the non-champions have to compete, and then the champions get to draft them, like what they did. That's how Laurel came on.
When you say agents, though, I twitch a little, because I feel like we barely got out of the agent spy.
Agents. free agents was, this was, that was probably yes, like season yeah. like 25 or something. That was a long time ago at this point.
Man, the challenge is so, when it's good, it's good. And when it's not, it's really not. But thankfully, we have All-Stars in merely a month. So that's super exciting. Let's go ahead and hit Survivor 46. All right. So we're going to talk about Survivor 46. We have three tribes. We have the Nami tribe, the Siga tribe, and the Yanu tribe. Nami's orange, Siga's green, and Yanu's purple. I do like the purple lilac color, got to say. We're just talking about the first episode of the season. I don't know if you heard, there's been some controversy though with Jeff on a podcast or some sort of interview where they're asking about villains, and he talked about how like he's uninterested in villains anymore. Jeff has changed a lot, and listen, CBS has had to change a lot, and yeah. I totally understand it, but the villains of Survivor are notorious to this day. Parvati on freaking Traitors, like, she's not on there because she wasn't a villain, okay? Like, you need that, and Survivor's missing it a bit. And I hope Jeff doesn't go Mr. Clean is how I'm going to call him. Like, as a host, he's just
that's where it's going.
Peace, love, and I don't like that.
I agree, Kayla. It's they have the casting, I think, has gone too far. They have, before it'd be a good dynamic. You have like kind of your ordinary everyday people. You have a couple big personalities. You have a couple people from different backgrounds, diversity. It is so far swung the other way now, where every single person has some big traumatic story, or is just like a really crazy personality, or they just immigrated here from another country. Like, every single person has some like tie to that. And when everybody's like that, it takes it away from us, because you need kind of some more of the ordinary everyday people in here, so that you have that push and pull between the big personalities and the not so big personalities. And it's just less entertaining to me when everybody is the same in how insane they are, essentially.
Here's what I think they need. I think they need mean people. I really do think that's what it is. They need mean people, and they're trying to have it in the older people of a certain generation by them being the mean ones, because they're dictating, like, you're younger, I'm telling you what's what. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the assholes. They need to come back to Survivor. Agreed. Because they are what makes it interesting. Their dynamics, the drama, the like how they're formulating things. We need people who are looking at it with that perspective. Like, I don't care who I'm hurting. This like kumbaya stuff on Survivor, I'm sorry, I do not like it. I love the diversity. I love the truly bizarre weirdos. And I say that lovingly, that sometimes are on the show when they're talking, I'm like, oh my God, are we camp songing right now?
I would have been with Hunter on that. I would have been like, are you freaking kidding me? These guys are singing we need nonstop.
Mean, I was a camp counselor as well. We need mean people, yes. Okay? And I think that's what is the problem. And Jeff apparently seems disinterested in mean people, but I want him back. But let's go ahead and talk about the people we do have. Anyone stood out to you, I guess? Who are your favorites? Who do you dislike?
Okay, well, dislike is easy. Jelinski was just... an abomination of a human being.
So you usually like those people. You know, you're usually tied to those people that seem really weak at the beginning. Who's your Whataburger?
Yeah, Whataburger. But the thing is, Jelinski comes in. I'm Vegas. I'm never going to quit at anything I do. The first opportunity he has at anything, he quits after an hour with like a D1 athlete who's like, are you freaking kidding me, dude? Like, and then the last time I checked, several meant seven, not four. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? No, several does not mean seven, dude. He's just such an idiot. And then he talks such a big game and then was not very good in the challenges. When he volunteers to do the journey and immediately folds when they ask him, like, do you really have the card? He's like, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to screw you over. I'll give up my vote so you guys get your votes. What, to create goodwill day one when you probably are not going to see these people later on? Like, and then he goes back to the camp and then tells them exactly what he did instead of just saying, oh, no, she guessed the other person correctly. It sucks. Like, why would you be like, I gave up, like, multiple times? And just tell everybody on your tribe. That's not a good way to start, like, building trust.
He had poor performance from the beginning. You can smell the weakness on some of these people, like a shark in the waters of you, or, you know, like.
He was clearly the youngest.
First of all.
He was 22, and it's a pretty older cast, but it showed that he was the youngest.
We're going to jump to the end, too, because Jelinski, we have to say, got voted out, and deservingly so. I laughed every time he kept saying, we gave up. Like, Jeff kept going, you gave up, and he had to keep saying we. I felt the vein in Q's forehead throbbing every time he kept saying, we gave up. Because that guy was ready to run and run the whole time. Now, I honestly agree with Jelinski that I wasn't, mostly because of Jelinski, they weren't going to get there. But
well, they said they gave up after an hour and a half.
I would have kept going.
They said they had 4 hours to do it. They didn't even get halfway there. And I know there's holes in the buckets, which is a pain in the ass. My immediate thought, and maybe there are rules they didn't explain, is take off your buff, put it around the bucket. That reduces the leakage from these holes, and then you'll be fine. But maybe they tried that, and somebody said they weren't able to do that. But, I mean, to quit after an hour, dude. Like, maybe you're like, you're 3 hours in
weak.
And you're like, shit, we have way too far to go. But after an hour, dude.
We called the week and Jelinski is out of here. I mean, he had it from beginning to end of the episode. You just knew. And the way, you know, I appreciate it's hard when you know he knew he was the one going. Actually, I didn't think he knew until they started kept referencing him. And I think then he, like, you could tell in real time when he started to realize, like, oh, they keep saying me. And he tried his best to try to, you know, when he tried to, who did he try to call
in?
He
tried
like,
to throw Jess under the bus for.
Yeah. And Jess was like, don't put me in your boat.
But then
so
she also kind of, you could see Q was getting annoyed that Jess kept talking because he's trying to be like, Jess, just say like, you're past it. Like, you're good for the team. But every time she talks, she'd be like, oh my God, I can't even formulate thoughts. I can't even think straight. I can't sleep. I don't know how good I am for the team when I'm not even thinking straight. And they panned a Q and he's like, shut the fuck up, girl. Just say
it's
you're okay.
It's her personality. Like, this is what happened. Her personality, like, clearly, like, she's someone, if you're friends with her, she's just like, oh my God, this happened at work, blah, 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 okay? She can't help it. She just says what she's feeling. And that is hard. This is literally the first tribal council, like, she, unless she changes it, because she just reads frailty on her forehead, and I do like her, like, she's entertaining the confessionals, but I just think, like, she herself is making herself an outsider, like, I'm too different from people, and that's gonna blow her up, and if this tribe goes back in, I think she's definitely on the block. Who else stood out to me? You know, we have some, I just gotta say, we have characters, like, some of these people, Soda. So, great name. I do love saying Soda.
She's gonna get annoying quick though.
Yes I can't remember who she reminds me of a couple seasons ago that would have that like positivity that like, and everyone's getting annoyed,
but then she ended up winning.
Who was it?
Your girl, right? Oh
yes,
man, what was her name?
But,
oh wow, I forgot her
people
name.
People forget, and she was giving me that energy because they were all like, I'm so annoyed at how she was like talking around the campfire. And Soda, read the room, girl. If she can't read the room, that's a problem. Like, she didn't notice that people were getting annoyed by that. So she really needs to be careful. My standout, like if I had to pick a standout, is Tevin.
Marianne, by the way. Marianne was
Marianne,
her name.
Thank you.
And I think my computer is hearing everything because as I was Googling to try to remember it, I typed in Survivor and then it goes Survivor winner Marianne. I was like, whoa. All right. It knows. The computer knows.
Maybe other people had that thought too. Tevin, he's a standout to me. He's amazing. He cracks me up.
Yeah, he is.
He needs to be careful.
He is a big personality. I do enjoy his kind of positivity so far. And I think the other guy in that tribe, Hunter, kind of the basic white guy science teacher, who is pretty awkward. I think it was very smart for him to try to align with Tevin, like immediately knowing I do not have the personality to stay like upbeat. So I need to align myself with somebody that's part of that. It was a smart move, but I think he's going to turn people off a little bit. And frankly, like, there's not a lot of people I was drawn to or can say I liked on episode one. I think Tevin is there. Kenzie, I liked her. She's kind of spunky. So, and then
let's tie Kenzie and Tiffany together because they really linked up early. Tiffany, I got to say, her the gun show, I'm welcome to it because I was like, damn, that
was the last
strong.
Person I was
like,
going to say is Tiffany is a badass.
I was impressed by her. Yeah. I was really impressed with them. Kenzie, personality-wise, I think that's going to be her downfall. Because she reminds me of someone else that was in Survivor. Again, I'm so bad at like recollecting the last season's names, but I'm like, ooh, when you're kind of out there,
Caroline is what you're thinking
like,
of, right? Because
yes.
She's the white girl with the tattoos, a little quirky. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, ooh, be careful, Tiffany, because you could have a really strong game. But I do like that they really, I mean, they were kind of ride and die early. So we'll see if that keeps up.
Yeah, that's in like they developed a good level of trust where Tiffany went for the beware advantage, immediately brought Kenzie in, who was kind of keeping a lookout so that she can get that idol. So those two could be a formidable duo going forward. And as of right now, they have Q in their little alliance. So was Jelinski, which obviously Q is basically like, I'm not working with this guy. I can't trust him at all if he can't even run up and down the sand a little bit. And Q even tried to help him out in the tribal where he's like, well, we had to run up and down Everest. It was tough. He's trying to like really build it up. And then Jelinski's like, yeah, we quit after an hour and a half. And he's like, dude, I'm trying to like build up the drama to give us
Jeff,
an excuse.
Jeff really kept going. So you quit, right? You're saying you quit. You quit. Say you quit.
I love when he's like, I will never quit at a challenge ever on this show. And then the people on the tribe are like, well, except for the strength one. Oh, and then except for the time when you went on the journey. He's like, well, yes, except for those, I will never quit.
Except for those. Otherwise, I'm not a quitter.
The two times I've had an opportunity to quit, I quit.
We got to talk about Banu because I think they're really selling him as the star of the season with his enthusiastic energy. I got to ask you because I found it delightful. I think he's going to get in trouble by trying to be the nice guy and befriend everyone. That's where he's going to go downhill. But you have a certain personality aversion. Did you like his energy and enthusiasm for the game?
I think it's fine day one. On day three, I'd be just ready to just vote him out. Like, I can't do with it much. Like, he's gung-ho day one. We just get there cool. But I just – that would drive me crazy if I was on that tribe after a couple days. And then we even saw day one. He's crying over the relationships he's formed already. I'm like, dude, you – if you're going to be crying over everybody that gets voted out, you need to get voted out. Like, I can't deal with this constant thing. Like you said, everybody is just too kumbaya. We need people to just be like, screw you. You deserve to go home. I don't give a shit. Bye-bye. And that is not his personality at all.
Yeah, you need a couple of them. And you know what? Sometimes they play too hard. We've seen that many times. They starting to play villain right away, and it's like, oh, man. You do have to build relationships, but no one is coming at it with the mentality of, like, how am I fucking scam these people so I make it to the end? Like, no one's coming with that. It's like, oh, so-and-so's nice, and oh, I saw they're looking for an idol. First of all, the policing over idol searching does annoy me because it's like, are you all should be looking for idols. Like, I really hate when they're like, caught you, busted. It's like, doesn't everyone want to be safe? The shaming over looking for that is just so dumb. Like, for that to be like, I'm looking down on you for doing that. I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah, I hear you. And I think, was it Venus? Don't call me princess. She's the one who got caught looking a little bit because she started unwinding pretty quick. Somebody called her princess and she's like, well, immediate target on my back. Everybody thinks I'm a princess. I guess I need to go look for an idol. I'm like, you need to relax a second here. Like, they just basically said you looked when they call you princess, they're saying that you do not look like a threat. That is something that you want.
But who was it that was like, I'm watching her, she's my number one enemy? Like, who was it? Was it Randon?
Oh, Randon. Randon's an idiot, so whatever.
Yeah, but they were looking. It was like, generally, people were like, you're on my radar. So I don't think she was wrong to be like, that is singling her out of it, because they said that.
Well, yeah, but like, I guess, but it's when you are basically like, oh, she's a cute girl, so she must be a poverty player. No, poverty was like a very singular player in how she operated. And Venus, which, pretty interesting name, honestly, from Toronto, so I guess she must be nice. I looked at like just her list of things to be like, I wonder if she says, don't call me a princess, but let me look at her hobbies, see if she's like, oh, well, I do all these fashion shows and I do all this and see if I can kind of catch her. No, her hobbies were like poker, creative writing, short film. So I was like, this is kind of, she seems like an interesting person if we can get a little bit more out of her. And she immediately was trying to help around the camp and whatnot, but we'll see how that plays out, because she may be on the bottom end of that tribe, the Nami tribe, the Orange tribe, but they just dominated the first couple challenges, which honestly threw me for a loop. And my wife, even before it started, was just like, oh yeah, they're probably going to lose quite a few challenges. Just physically, they look like one of the smaller teams. And then they just went out and dominated. So we'll see how long that lasts.
I also love them getting money from the very first time they got on the beach. Like, Jeff is just like, all right, get into the shit. It just is so funny to me. I love Survivor. So that first episode is always nice, kind of sussing out personalities and getting a feel for the tribes. I am looking forward to this season. But hopefully some of these interesting personality characters start kind of getting locked in, like Jess and Kenzie, you know, Liz. Like, hopefully they start realizing like the game is going to be hard. So like, you kind of gotta be tough in your exterior. And sometimes that's hard for like the more artistic, like, yeah, I'm just going to be me people, because then they're like, okay, you're going to be you on the way out with your torch unlit.
What did you think about the twist on the journey, where it was basically you draw three cards, one person has to guess what the other two have? Like, I feel like it's too simple. But also, I'm glad they switched it up from the previous one, because then after you watch these seasons, you can kind of develop a strategy. So what'd you like? I wish there was a little bit more, but I like it was different.
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, people are now at home doing all the puzzles and winning, like Cameron, you know. So I think they're realizing like, oh, you know, we do have a lot of odes to past season, but maybe we do need to change it up. I agree. Like, maybe there could be a different version of it later on, but I enjoyed like the switch up of things. So I'm all for it. Like, Survivor, we're at 46 seasons. Like, we do need to think outside the box. Yep. So I appreciate when they do try to make it feel new, especially when it feels like you blink and you're on another season of Survivor. You know what I mean? Like, these things are cooking every few months. So yeah, it's good stuff, man. It's going to be a good season, I think. And hopefully, you know, episode 2 brings on even more of these interesting folks on Survivor.
Completely, completely agree. And we do have a D&D girly on there, Mariah. So that's one person we can root for, just because of the D&D. And I think her hobbies were beer brewing. So that sounds right up my alley, but she didn't talk much.
Beer brewing on the weekends. Beer brewing on the weekends, you know. Where did she find the time? Power to her. All right. I think that wraps it up for our reality talk today. But before we go to our swirl of the week, we have to talk about next week, Sunday, March 10th, is the Oscars, one of our favorite Sunday nights of the year. Of course, we're going to record right afterwards, have a new episode for you the next day. We love it every time.
Yeah, we love it, except for the editing of the pod at 2 in the morning. But besides that.
Yeah, we love our 11 o'clock recording, but it is tradition. We talked about what our Oscar bet was going to be, and we have decided. So the loser of our Oscar bet, and again, whoever has the most correct picks wins, okay? Loser is going to do a power hour that is a shot every minute on the podcast. Theme to be later described in the year, but yeah, we're going to be drunk. Someone's going to be drunk live.
That's going to be a tough one, Kayla. And yes. I'm not as young as I used to be able to pull off a power hour as like a pregame. So during the pod, it'll be – interesting, and I'm already saying like I've lost, but it'd be even more interesting.
Thank you. I was not saying anything, but I'm like talking like the loser you're predicting.
But frankly,
yourself
it'd
to be
much more interesting if you're the one who lost to see you do a power hour on the pod, Kayla. That'd be great.
Oh my god, it would be like 4 minutes in. It's gonna be hard because really, it's sometimes it's the Oscars where you feel like so confident that this movie's gonna get it. Let's talk about Oppie, you know. So. That you get kind of screwed over on because you're just so confident. So we shall see. I did see all the movies in the Best Pick too. I ranked on my Letterboxd. Check out my Letterboxd. I ranked the Best Pick films and
Maestro number one.
Everyone else's thoughts. Maestro number 10, as you could imagine. All right. So that is our Oscar bet. We look forward to talking about the Oscars next week. Let's go. All right. Let's go ahead and get to our Swirly of the Week. All right. So my Swirly is going to be super quick. It's Sydney Sweeney, your girl. I know that you love her.
What did she do? I don't
really get it. I think it's because I haven't seen much that she's in. Like maybe I can't kind of follow the buzz. I couldn't, as you know, get into Euphoria. I will not be watching Madam Web. And I didn't see the rom-com.
Anybody but you.
Yes. So she was on Saturday Night Live last night. And her work husband is what I'll call Glenn Powell came up because they talked about the affair a bit or the like scandal. And, you know, it's been a while in Hollywood since we've had, you know, these stars are linking up or hooking up. So I remember like there was quite a bit of buzz of like he was leaving his girlfriend and all this stuff. But like, I just think in hindsight, because nothing ever happened with it, it just seemed pretty lame, you know? And I don't know if that was like an actual like marketing attempt or that was the media kind of putting that on them or they were like, let's hype up this, you know, movie that people aren't sure if they're going to be on board with us on. I just, Glenn Powell, like he's good. He just serves like bland personality to me. And so I just thought the whole experience was just pretty lame. And so Sydney Sweeney's my Swirly of the Week for just kind of like, and then even just having and then bringing it up on Saturday Night Live.
All right,
like,
so just
whatever.
Existing and talking on Saturday Night Live is why. Okay.
No, this phony relationship that I think they both had a hand in that didn't go anywhere. True stars hook up. Okay. True stars hook up. And create drama. I'm sorry.
True stars hook up and cheat on their significant others is what you just said,
exactly.
Kayla. Okay, understood.
I want old Hollywood back. Come on, bring back the cheaters. Anyways.
Okay, Kayla. Bold
ahead,
take.
What's
bold
your
take.
Swirly of the week?
So my Swirly of the week is he seems to be a mainstay on the Swirly of the week going back the last year or so. Elon Musk.
Swirly?
Elon Musk has sued OpenAI and its co-founder, Sam Altman, for breaching the organization's founding agreement by letting it become too profit motivated. So he co-founded this company in 2015 as a nonprofit with Sam Altman. Microsoft purchased 49% of it last year for $13 billion. The reason Musk is my Swirly of the Week is he is suing a company that he previously co-founded because it is trying to make too many profits. When he bought Twitter to try to turn it into a profit machine. It just seems like such an oxymoron to me, and they say it doesn't have much standing to it, but what a just complete Musk/Swirly move.
I mean, I think he got Twitter because he had to get Twitter because the joke got too serious and he realized he couldn't get out of it. But now I think he's trying to recover his X dollars because
he's ruined Twitter and it sucks.
Yes,
now. Yes,
yes, I do. And I think everyone knows it. Everyone's talking shit about him. And I think he's like, how can I recover these dollars because I'm leaking it? Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to sue for $80 billion. So
just to
quite a bit.
Just to touch on the AI, I'm sure we could spend a whole episode on it, but it's really freaking me out, you guys. On my feeds on social media, I see all these AI images. It's like fake movie posters. It's like fake celebrity photos. And right now you can tell, like I can very much tell the pixelated kind of glossy look. So like it may take me a second, but I go, oh, AI, that's fake. But the more realistic they get, the more I'm like, what is real? What is not? I don't really like that feeling in general in my life. So yeah, we need to kind of work on this, I think.
Yeah, honestly, I hate that in 2024, I can't trust any phone call, text message I get, anything I see on the internet could be fake. Like how did we get here? Let's just cut off the internet, guys. Let's just leave podcasts where people are talking. I'm okay with that. Wrong opinions only, like subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. But I'm just so sick of not being able to answer my phone and it not be a scam, or look at an email or a text message. Don't click on this because you may, somebody in Russia may have all of your information if you click on it. Like, what? This just sucks, man. Why do we have to take things so far? Why can't we just take technology to a point where we can utilize it to better benefit us, our community, our society, our economy? Instead, it's got to be like, no, how do we turn this and try to screw everybody over? Brutal. That's how I'll be running in my next political campaign.
I appreciate
that. Cut out the economy, where all the money is. So I'm sure I'll get a lot of donations from all big tech.
You certainly will. You certainly will. Let's go ahead and get to our friendship question of the week. Which is it, Justin?
So the friendship question of the week this week, Kayla, is what is something that you've always liked to try, but you might be too scared to actually try it, like a tangible item? And I can go first, unless you already have one at the top of your head.
Yes, go first.
So for me, it is skydiving. Like, it is something where I'm like, I really want to do that, but I think I'd just be scared shitless to actually do it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to, but I don't know if I'd ever actually have the nerve to do it.
I think I would be the person that passes out, you know, like screams and they just like pass out halfway through the air. I think that would be my real experience. But
that'd be a great
video.
You have
talked about that a lot. I always just think of Uncle Jesse in the Full House when he jumps out of those because he feels like he's going to get married. He's not going to do fun stuff. So the day before his wedding, he goes on the plane and parachutes down and gets stuck in a tree and almost misses his wedding. Oh, okay. Classic
Full House.
You know the one,
yep.
Justin, right?
I do.
You remember that episode. Commitment. Anywho, mine is something I say a lot, but every year I'm like, this is my year. Can you guess it? Can you guess what I'm going to say? Riding a bike. I at this point, I almost feel like I'm too old to learn it. Like, I just missed the boat. But I do wish, like, I just see people riding their bikes, children, one could say, old people, everyone. And I just feet firmly on the ground. It is a real fear when I sit on a resting bike that's like on the kickstand, my heart races. I don't know why, because I'm an adult and the fall from the ground is not as large as when I was, you know, six, but that childhood fear is still in me.
Well,
I
think
don't know.
This is one of those, like just kind of mentality things of as you get older, your fears grow.
Yes.
Like when you're a kid, you don't have a concept of, oh, if I fall, okay, maybe it's going to hurt. But as an adult, you're like, if I fall, it's going to be embarrassing. People are going to see, it's going to hurt. I'm not going to be able to figure it out. Like, I'm past the boat. And I'm volunteering right now, Kayla. I will teach you how to ride a bike.
Teach me how to ride a bike?
As long as we can record it for the pod, yes. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Everything for the pod, Kayla. But I will be there. I'll be holding on to your back, pushing you down the road, helping you ride a bike.
Justin, don't let go. Don't let go.
And then I'll just turn into Titanic and then just push you and be like, I'll never let go. Shove you out.
And then I'll just scream, I'm doing it. I'm doing it before I hit the mailbox. Yeah. You know, the first person you're going to teach how to bike, Justin, is not going to be your children. It's going to be me. And I appreciate that. That's friendship.
I think that's something we legitimately need to do this summer, Kayla. Get you on a bike.
I agree. I have a bike I could borrow, but I'm scared even thinking about it. So we'll table that. Awesome. All right. I think that wraps it up for our episode this week. Reality TV. Next week is the Oscars. Can't wait. Sunday night. Be there. Be square. We'll see you next week.
Well, that's it for this episode of Wrong Opinions Only. Please follow us on Instagram at Wrong Opinions Only and on Twitter at Wrong Opinions JK, where we'll be dropping some clues and hints to upcoming episodes. Until then, JK out.